everyone. Welcome to Metanorn's Mini Talk on Alt Noah Zero. I'm J-Ro, joined by Faux Shizzle.
Hey, what's up?
And we are talking about Episode 9, Darkness Visible. There were at least three distinct moments in this episode, scenes that we kind of kept going in and out of. So we'll go ahead and start with Slain and Sawsbomb in this episode, where Slain has been taken by Sawsbomb back to his landing castle, and there he openly admits that, hey, I was the guy that plotted Asylum's assassination, after sort of blatantly lying to him earlier, which is kind of an odd opening scene there.
Yeah, it was pretty weird. You know, he wakes up in the guy's bed, and he's like bandaged up, everything. He's like, yeah, I know you're loyal to the princess, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I was going to try to kill her. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, just a total shock there on Slain's face.
That's something he wants to hear when he wakes up. Mm-hmm. What the hell?
Yeah. And then later on in the episode, they're sitting there eating dinner, and they're kind of talking about, you know, the food and all that stuff, how it's processed and how culture hasn't really developed on Mars, and we get a little bit more about why Sawsbomb is doing all of this, is that he doesn't like that the Vers sent the Knights to war 15 years ago. Of course, we know the results of that, but Sawsbomb did not take well that was the order given to him.
Yeah, it sounds like he was just against all that. Like, he had his own mindset of what he wants to do. And also, like you're saying, the food they're eating, all that's processed on Mars, it's not, you know, real food. And he's kind of almost, like I said before in the beginning, why they would attack Earth. There's resources there they want, namely the food. And yeah. So, water. Yeah, it tells you, like, he wants to conquer Earth, but not only conquer it, but, you know, take the resources and take it for his own, basically, is what he wants, sounds like.
It's kind of interesting, like, how would they have ended up, you know, it would be interesting to know more about how they colonized Mars and, you know, what kind of thought went into it, because definitely when you look at Earth, it just seems much more plentiful of resources and definitely water, of course. So you can definitely see, at first we were kind of thinking, you know, about how there was a lot of just all NOAA technology, which is incredible when we see it in the show, but they really don't have a lot of the basics.
Right, yeah, like food, that's one thing. You know, I mean, that even in the you know, the real world, if you try to colonize Mars, it's going to take years to do that, because you got to have water, you got to have the atmosphere and all that. So it's like, yeah, you can't just, you know, drop something down there. Okay, we live in here. You got to put more thought into it.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to look at it in some way. Well, of course, Sawsbomb is painted to be the bad guy right now. You can kind of understand what his motivation is for doing all of this, what he's doing right now.
Yeah, and a little bit, you know, maybe a far stretch, but it's almost like Suzaku Kogios. He, you know, he was put in a situation where he's, you know, forced to fight. He doesn't want to. He'd rather not fight, and now he has to, and you know, he secretly hates the group he's with and all that. So, like I see, the Sawsbomb is kind of the same. Like you said, he was forced into the fight and he got hurt. You know, Slain's dad saves him, and then, you know, he feels indebted to Slain. But it's like, how long is that debt going to last until he, you know, says screw it and kills Slain? That's what I'm wondering on, you know?
Yeah, it's the moment he has no more use for Slain.
Right.
Which kind of remains to be seen. You know, we didn't really get any more details about why Sawsbomb wants Slain specifically, other than the fact that he owes a debt to Troy, or there's got to be something more there. So we move on to Marito now, who he basically, you know, outside of that scene, this whole episode was like simulation episode things, where as people were going through some simulations, Marito's had this kind of weird, blocky, old-time 2D. You know, it's funny when you see what Raya did. You know, it looks like this amazing 3D video game where they just... Yeah, I'm getting ahead here. Where they just rendered Neela Karras, and it's like, wow, that looks really cool. And his is just some blocky NES-looking game.
Right, back in the day, you know, that kind of graphic.
Yeah.
I was thinking, well, what's the Sony thing they're making, the VR headset? This looks exactly the same thing to me.
Project Morpheus.
Yeah, so, you know, you got Marito using the Project Morpheus this week. like the beta version.
And then from there is where we finally get to see the full situation that went down in Tanegashima between him and John Humeray. And we see that they were riding a tank and that the tank was, you know, there was flames coming out from the inside and John was burning alive. So that's when Marito shot him. And that's where the trauma comes from, is that he had to kill his friend.
Right, it's like not only was the tank like on fire, but it got thrown around. You know, they're like being knocked around like dominoes and everything.
Just, oh yeah.
And then he catches fire, like you said. Plus his leg's pinned; he can't get up the tank. It's like, oh my god, everything that can go wrong will go wrong on that. And yeah, he doesn't want to leave either. He was like, we're gonna fight, and then you know, Marito's kind of was not wanting to fight, but
yeah.
But like you said, he caught the other guy caught fire, and you know he had no choice but put him out of his misery. So. So it's kind of like, you know, I feel sorry for him. It is, I mean, you finally get to see the full, why he's the way he is. I mean, I do feel sorry for him, but, you know, it's, yeah, kind of sucks we had to go through that like that.
Yeah, and I think in terms of the show, maybe this is sort of a peak of that whole PTSD that we've seen him go through during the course of this series, where, you know, it'll be kind of interesting to see what the next step is toward actually trying to heal it, or see if he is able to eventually get out in battle and go through some from motions there.
Right. So even the doctor said before to him that, you know, given the situation, it wasn't really his fault. You know, it just, but Marito, you know, is hardened himself about it, and I don't understand. I mean, it's not exactly easy killing your friend.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, even though you're helping them, but you're not helping yourself. So.
And I really hope we see that night again, that that cataphract again. That looked really cool. And
yeah,
you know, you mentioned about throwing the tanks around, it was like they were toys,
right? Yeah, it was like gravity or something. Yeah. But I still think that Sazbomb's mech that he used, but he said he got hurt, so I'm like, you know, the moon, I think the moon did something to him, but we'll see what that was really his, because he did freak out a little bit when they said Tanegashima, where it was located. So I still think it's probably his. That gives him a connection to Marito a little bit, maybe a little bit of revenge for both characters. We'll see.
And then we go from that to Asylum and Rayet. And we've seen Asylum getting more accustomed to being around the ship and just kind of being okay with everything. And that is really bothering Rayet. And we start with seeing Rayet in a simulation where she goes nuts when the Neil Karras sim shows up and she dies in that game. And then you just see kind of the buildup that she's getting angry with Asylum, that she's kind of just okay with everything. We've seen Rayet go, you know, oh, the Martians are the enemy, this and that. We see a lot of, multiple times in this episode, the replay of Rayet's father and those other guys getting killed by Trillram. And that causes Rayet to want to choke out Asylum in the shower.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like this, you know, you're saying this, they kept building up, building up, building up. And for me, I almost took it as Rayet. Well, I felt like she was kind of getting a little jealous of the princess. You know, she's technically the enemy, but everyone's treating her like she's normal, like she's a human. And it's like, I could see from her point of view that that would kind of be, you know, knowing that, like you said, the Martians killed her family. So it's like, why are the humans on this ship so trustworthy of the princess? You know, and it's like you said. And then, yeah, the shower scene, like, yeah. So after that, I mean, everyone I've talked to assumes the princess is dead. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm going with the knockout theory that just knocked her out in time. Because, like, why would you kill her off this early? Because she's important to the plot. You know, she's part of Slane's, you know, storyline and Inaho's storyline. So she's kind of like the bridge between both, you know, Martians and humans. So
it would be pretty crazy if that, if this was the kill in the series. I mean, for one, we've technically already been through this argument about whether
the princess
really dead after episode one.
I also wonder what Rayet gains by killing her. Like, she didn't really gain much by killing her. I mean, right now they kind of need her.
It's almost
like the thing that you kind of need the princess whether you like it or not, because they need the ship. If without it, they're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, I think she just wasn't really thinking in that moment. She was just so frustrated with Asylum being okay with everything that her emotions got the best of her, and then the second it happened, she kind of realized what she did.
You think Asylum will forgive her for that? Or, I mean, given the personality the princess kind of has?
It'll be interesting to find out, like, you know, when she comes to, if details aren't exactly known to everybody that Rayet was the one that choked her. I mean, she didn't see Rayet there, so...
Right, that's true.
That could stay a secret. Like, people could not know for a while.
Right, I imagine that Rayet would probably, you know, run out and pretend like, you know, all the princes collapsed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And pretend that, you know, nothing happened. Like you said, she didn't see her, and El Ruto, she didn't see her. So, really, it's only one side right now, whether Rayet confesses to that or not, but I don't think she will.
Mm-hmm. All right, and we get on to some extra notes here. We have quite a few for this episode. Cloud9 face. Apparently, Kaizuka Yuki is very good with reading faces, and Inaho's Cloud9 face, you know, pretty boss, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Like, she was saying, I can tell some people are lying. Like, mm-hmm. Wow. I'm like, thanks for that. I was like, well, you know that, but we don't know that. You know, the audience watching wants to see more emotion of this character, but apparently yeah. This sister knows best, but that's fine, mm-hmm. Whatever. Yeah. As long as she's around, maybe she can, you know, be the translator for his emotions.
And for those people that want more emotion from him, that scene is kind of, you're not going to get any emotion out of him.
Like, the high point the right now.
Yeah, that's
yeah, he's like going to be like, oh my god, she makes my heart beat so fat. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to get any of that from him, sorry.
No doki doki there.
Nope.
But hearing that, Inko gets very jealous, and she wants to take a break from her training to interrupt whatever action is developing between those two.
Yeah, it's that main character, you know, main character swag. It just happens. Mm-hmm. Can't turn it off, and all the characters are like, oh my god, I'm instantly attracted to him. Even the aliens want him, because they want to kill him every week.
Yeah, it's funny. Yuki kind of getting everybody riled up there.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
And SimCat 10 is a game that Calm mentions. That's how Rayet trained, and that's how Calm played too. So that's, you know, it's going to be the future of military in real life. You know, people, you know, playing some form of military video game.
Right. Yeah, we do use a lot of unmanned drones, and mm-hmm. people can sit at a desk and, you know, get a controller, and they go. You can mm-hmm. do it from the safety. But yeah, you said it's good. The future, definitely, or the future of arcades. You know, they can easily, you know, put these kind of like arcade units together where you're in a giant robot and all this stuff. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have Magbarej and Mizuzaki in a scene, yeah. And the joke is kind of running dry. It seemed like, you know, Mizuzaki's strategy seemed effective, but the do you want to know why you can't get a date thing was just being used mainly as like, it's almost like a running gag between those two.
Right,
but
yeah.
It's not really... I think its effectiveness has kind of been lost.
I was waiting for the other girl to be like, what's your problem? You back, got my back about that. Really.
Yeah.
It's like, if I was her, I'd be like, just because you want to get in Maruto's pants don't mean you gotta, you know, put it on me every time. Seems like that she keeps bringing it up. It's like, what's your deal?
Yeah. And we have some clothes switching going on here with Asylum wearing, well, what I guess is Nina's clothes, and then Nina trying on the princess's clothes and sort of looking in the mirror and twirling around.
She's the new princess. If they get rid of the Asylum, they can replace her there.
Yeah. Nina. Yeah, if Asylum dies, Nina, by the clothing.
By yeah, by transfer of clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the look, kill a kill hair going on.
Yeah. And this last thing is about El Ritio. We see her a couple times in this episode, and I have long been on this podcast talking about how I find her pretty useless. Mm-hmm. And there's basically one scene where that kind of... It kind of defined for me why she's around. Like, for the most part, we saw in a scene where these two kids gave Asylum a crane... She's all talking and being her talky self. They just walk away. They don't even act like she spoke or anything. Rhea, she's really not listening to anybody in this episode. And that's kind of what she's been for the most part. I've seen some people in the comments say that she's kind of keeping Asylum in check, and I really think that's just conjecture, and I'm wondering exactly when that's happened, that mm-hmm. she's kept her in check.
Yeah, it's like, when you have a character like her, who's the, you know, the assistant to the princess, it's, mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen it in every other series before that has a, you know, kind of a royalty system. Mm-hmm. The royals don't really listen to the advisor at all, never, in yeah. any show I've seen. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, Game of Thrones, which, you know, they have tons of advisors, and the main characters never listen to their advisor, ever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, Ilderita, like you said, she's kind of gotten really no purpose,
mm-hmm.
besides being the lolicon factor.
So I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it kind of conflicts with when you want to create a strong character or a very independent character, like Asylum seems to be, as much as we've seen in this series, that she's able to think for herself and she's able to defend herself. We saw her hold one of those things that shoots a smoke grenade.
Right.
Ilderita, she doesn't really serve much purpose.
Right, yeah.
I'm not saying that she's a character that doesn't need to exist, because, mm-hmm. but I feel like in the overall, she's just there.
Right.
And then
go ahead.
I was just going to say that we find out that in this last scene where they make it conveniently, oh, we forgot something, I need to go back and get it. That's when she serves some kind of use for the story, in that, okay, Asylum is all alone now, Rhea can walk over and choke her.
Right, yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking too. I mean, for, you know, just being silly things, I was like, you know, Ilderita, you know, they could spin it, oh, she's, you know, always hated the princess, like, oh, now she's dead, mm-hmm. yes, I'm free. I was joking with Silent Island about that, I was like, but, nah. But yeah, like you were saying, I just don't know what her purpose is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Other than, like, go get this, go get that.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you forgot that, you know, but yeah, it's like, there's something they're going to do with her later, I think, but we'll see. I'm holding my breath for it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is it. What'd you think of this episode overall?
That was pretty good. I mean, like, there wasn't really much mech action, but, you know, it's fine to take a break from that. Mm-hmm. I like mecha shows that do that, that they're not focused entirely on the robots and, you know,
yeah.
that kind of action stuff, which it's a good, you get a good break from that and you get some character development. Even though, you know, the big shocker, you know, the princess, obviously, yeah. and Slain, their stories right now are more interesting than Inaho right now for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's surprising that, save the scene with Dioscuria at the end, we haven't had any mecha action for two whole episodes,
mm-hmm.
which is very surprising. It was, you know, it got pretty crazy there at the end with Rhea choking Asylum, and then the All-Noah going down and the ship is crashing.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So we find out that it basically, you know, her life energy is basically charging that thing, and when she's knocked out, it goes down with her.
Yeah, I guess, I wonder if it kind of gives us a clue as to, like, how you disable a All-Noah drive.
Mm-hmm.
Take out the pilot, you know, knock him out or do something yeah. to stop him, that mm-hmm. it kind of gives you a hint that the humans can win if they can find a way to, you know, incapacitate the pilot somehow.
Mm-hmm. All right, so thank you, listeners, for listening to this episode of the All-Known Zero Mini Talk. For Fosh, I'm J-Ro. We'll see you next week. Time.